Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 112 for October 7th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
This one is an award winner, actually. This one won the award. I will, you know, I might as well say it for the, I think the best new you know, range of whiskeys.
That's Jim Murray, veteran whiskey writer and the author of The Whiskey Bible. Believe it or not, 2008 is almost here, and the 2008 edition of The Whiskey Bible is already being shipped to booksellers. We'll get a preview from Jim later, but first, let's look at the news. More new whiskeys to report on this week. Highland Park has a new 21-year-old distillery bottling that will be available only in duty-free stores, and the expected release of a 40-year-old bottling has been postponed until early next year. There are three new releases from the Macallan. The 12-year-old Gran Reserva will be available only in Japan and Taiwan for now. And the Macallan's Fine and Rare series has new 1975 and 1976 bottlings. The U.S. gets the 1976, while the 1975 will be available in other global markets. If you enjoy blended whiskeys, Chivas Regal has a new 25-year-old bottling that's just being released. I had the chance to try this one the other night. It's quite good and will sell for about $300 a bottle. John Hansel at Malt Advocate reports Canada's Kindling Ridge Distillery will be releasing a special edition of 40 Creek to celebrate John Hall's 15 years of distilling whiskey. The small batch version of 40 Creek will only be sold in Ontario and Texas for now. And stay tuned. Later this month, I'll be making my annual trip north to Whiskey Live Toronto, and I plan to stop by Kindling Ridge to talk with John Hall about his very innovative whiskeys. Speaking of innovators, it wouldn't be October without the arrival of the annual Buffalo Trace Antique Collection, including the legendary George T. Stagg Bourbon. Let's get the details from Buffalo Trace's Chris Comstock.
We've got five brands that are all new vintage, of course. The George T. Stagg, which is a predominant favorite of the five. This year, they're a little bit older than 15-year-old barrels that we selected. And the George T. Stagg barrels are always good. They've got this really dark chocolate, really thick molasses taste to them. I mean, it's a very, very rich whiskey. And this year it's a particular surprise because they are the marriage turned out stronger than any previous George T. Stagg marriage ever at 149.8 proof.
Wow.
Yes. So that you know, we've had proofs as low as 129, but this George T. Stagg is stronger than ever. So I can't wait to hear what people think.
How much stronger legally can you go, or is that about as much as you can take it?
Well, I couldn't imagine it getting that strong to begin with, because we fill those barrels with White Dog at 125 proof. So it has almost increased 12.5% alcohol over 15 years. And that's due to the evaporation process. We lose about 3% of whiskey every year out of that barrel because of evaporation. We call it the angel share. And water molecules are a bit faster than the alcohol molecules. So we tend to lose a little bit more water over the course of time. And so the percent of alcohol increases slightly. It all depends on the aging, and that's why it varies from year to year.
And you have four others in the collection too, right?
Yeah, we do. We've got Sazerac Rye 18-year-old, which has won quite a few awards. It is it's a straight rye whiskey that's been aged for 18 years, and one of the first ultra-premium ryes to be offered, and that one sells out really, really quickly. As you can imagine, rye aged for that long has the spicy rye flavor to it, but it's also got that oakiness that comes with aging a whiskey for that long. So that one always makes people happy when they can get their hands on a bottle like that.
And then you've got the Eagle Rare 17, right?
Yep. Again, the Eagle Rare 17-year-old, which is a bourbon that we produce here using corn, rye, and malted barley, and we age that for at least 17 years. I believe this year's vintage has got some 19-year-old barrels in it, even. So it's a really, really oaky bourbon, really tannic, got a lot of that smokiness and that dry, oaky finish to it. So if you like the Eagle Rare 10-year-old single barrel that we offer, this would be its grandfather.
The other two whiskeys in the collection are the William LaRue Weller Weeded Bourbon and the Thomas H. Handy Sazerac Rye. As always, availability will be very limited, so start sucking up to your favorite retailer now if you're interested. By the way, the new micro distillery at Buffalo Trace I mentioned earlier this year was fired up for the first time this past Friday. That gives Buffalo Trace master distiller Harlan Wheatley a new toy to play with. Chris says Harlan will be trying out some new bourbon ideas, along with some gin and vodka recipes. There have only been three U.S. presidents named George, the current one we know about, but his father and the first George have another unique link in history now. This week, the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. held its annual heritage dinner at George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, and the highlight of the evening's charity auction was one of the first bottles of rye whiskey produced at George Washington's restored distillery. The bottle was signed by former President George H.W. Bush. Council President Peter Cressy talked President Bush into signing bottle number 5.
I had a chance to meet the former president this summer, came back to him a couple of weeks later and said, look, we're having this marvelous auction in support of Mount Vernon. We have bottle number 5 from the very first batch of whiskey to be distilled, aged, and bottled at Mount Vernon in 206 years. Would you sign a bottle on behalf of Mount Vernon? He's a very gracious guy, as you know. He agreed to do it, and the bottle got $35,000. Very, very nice gift from Mount Vernon.
And it was bought by the Franks of Sidney Frank, right?
It was indeed. And John Frank, Sidney's nephew, nice of him to share the proceeds from Grey Goose. Certain irony there, I suppose.
I have to ask, did the former president ask for a sip of this at all?
Actually, what we did was we gave the former president bottle number 6 in a beautiful case as a thank you. And he asked me specifically, should he drink it or should he just keep it? And I said, well, by all means, the next time you have a head of state, show him what a good whiskey is. So it was just terrific.
By the way, only 24 bottles were produced from that first batch. Wine Spectator publisher Marvin Shanken paid $100,000 for numbers 1 and 2 at last year's Heritage Dinner. Time now for a correction from the last episode. In my story on Whiskey Magazine's Icons of Whiskey Canada Awards, I reported that Glenora Distillers was named Visitor Attraction of the Year. In fact, it came in second, receiving the highly commended designation. The winner was Canadian Club's Heritage Center in Waterville, Ontario, and Canadian Club's Dan Tullio received the highly commended award as Canadian Whiskey Ambassador of the Year. Again, John Hall of Kittling Ridge won that honor. Finally, Pernod Ricard is planning to invest $30 million to expand production at Wild Turkey's distillery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. The expansion will be completed in 2009 and should double Wild Turkey production to nearly 11 million gallons a year. Coming up on the calendar of events, I've already mentioned Whiskey Live in Toronto on the 20th. Malt Advocates' first Whiskey Fest in San Francisco will be on the 23rd, followed by the annual Whiskey Fest in New York a week later on the 30th. There's also the Independent Spirits Fest in San Francisco this coming Saturday, the 13th. And also this coming weekend, the Great Southern Whiskey and Spirits Expo in Lake Charles, Louisiana. The annual Wild Whiskey Weekend in Nykøbing Falster, Denmark is the 19th through the 21st. And the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's U.S. chapter holds tasting dinners in Chicago on the 11th, Washington, D.C. the 24th, and Philadelphia on the 26th. Finally, the Lindoris Whiskey Society's annual Whiskey Festival will be the last weekend of the month in Oostende, Belgium. Believe it or not, that's not all that's happening this month. You'll find a complete calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. If you're looking for a holiday gift to give this winter, you might want to consider copies of Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible. This year, you actually can. I'm kidding, of course. It's a running joke that Jim's annual guide has often been plagued by publishing delays that kept it from getting to the market in time for Christmas. In fact, the 2007 edition never did make it to U.S. booksellers. But Jim's 2008 edition is already off the press and being shipped to booksellers now. I sat down with Jim this week to get the details.
I'm afraid I've slacked on this one. In the 2007, there was just over 1,000 whiskies fresh to market. I'm afraid I've only this year only done 811. But I honestly, my lad, there is actually good reasons for this, and that is because the last Bible was finished in November last year, so you had a year and a bit, or I had a year and a bit in which to write it. Because we wanted to get the book actually into the United States and various other places around the world for Christmas, I finished writing this in July. So between December and July, 811 new whiskies. So actually, month to month, day for day, there's actually more new whiskies than the 2007. So, yeah, it needed some major ploughing to get that up to date, yeah.
And this will be out in the US and around the world when?
More or less now. The it got printed in Peru. Just as it was being bound, the earthquake hit. The place where it got done got badly hit. The walls cracked. And I was there a few days earlier. Got out just in time. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on, because in the 2006 Bible, it was actually printed in Indonesia. And about 3 weeks after that was done, the tsunami hit. So I don't know what's going on with the Bible, but the Peruvian earthquake followed this one. And it meant that it would have been in America now, except that they had to close the port down, obviously, to allow emergency stuff in. And then perishables were the first things out. And although this had a 2008 tag on it, it wasn't regarded quite perishable enough, so it had to go with bricks and various other things to the back of the queue. So that's actually arriving in port in Seattle as we speak, and over the next week or so it will be distributed through United States, because we're forming lots of new clients out here, so there's a big demand for it.
And worldwide as well, right?
Massively worldwide. I mean, we've actually gone into reprint. We've actually pre-sold the original print run of 35,000, and we've done another 15,000 even before it's even gone into shop, because of the worldwide demand for it. So it's been, the word is spreading, shall we say. I don't know how or why, but I mean, somewhere like Cyprus took 2,000 copies. Cyprus, I've no idea. And then it's going into Russia for the first time, and South Africa and places like that. But per capita, the one place that had underperformed, because we'd never really had the time to get it out there, was the USA. And so I'm making sure that the Bible is seriously available in this part of the world now. Yeah.
What are your award winners this year?
If I told you that, Mark, you realise that you got to die, and this tape would self-destruct, because it's not actually officially announced yet.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I will say that for the first time ever, it's a single malt that's got the World Whiskey of the Year. Because before it's been bourbon and blends and so on and so forth. For the first time, it's a single malt that's got it.
Can you at least give us a region?
Follow your nose is what I'd say on that one. You'd have to smoke it out of me.
Then knowing your tradition and your reputation, that would probably make it an island.
It could well be, yeah. You're wasted. You should be with the FBI. Yeah.
What else is in the book that's unusual this year? What did you change?
I've had my normal grizzle and grouse about, one or two things that slightly pee me off. The one that's really got me this year, and it's been worrying me for some time, but it's really gone a bit over the board this year, and that is the big problem with sulphur casks. You know, the sulphur treatment that's been going on for the last few years is beginning to really hit a peak now. And I've tasted more whiskey in the last 12 months ruined by sulphur than I've ever done in my life. And I remember 12, 15 years ago saying to especially the Scotch whiskey industry, guys, you've got a problem here. What are you doing about this? And what problem? You know, what are you talking about? You know, this is shoving a sulphur stick into a $400, or $800 sherry butt is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. It doesn't damage anything. And I thought, well, these guys have got to be slightly off their head. You know what they're talking about. And unfortunately, because of the fact there is a shortage of whiskey these days, I think there's more because there is a shortage of whiskey, that there's a little bit more of it to be seen, and B, it's just coming now to a peak anyway.
What new whiskies did you find this year that really came out and really impressed you?
The one that really, really takes you aback is the Glenfarclas. They brought out a range of whiskies dating right back. They brought one out for every year. Hang on a minute, let me get my reading glasses on. And
the family cask series.
Yeah, it's. Have they got any of that into the States yet?
Not yet.
Okay. I mean, it's basically, I'm just trying to try and see how many pages it's taken up here. It's basically taken up three pages in the Bible. I mean, it is absolutely major. And overall, that they were the most exciting because of the fact that when you can go back through time and see the whiskies evolving and what have you, that's so exciting. I mean, that happens very, very rarely. Obviously, McAllander did it and so on and so forth. It's not unknown. But for someone as good as Glenfarclas to come out with something like that, yeah, it was kind of hair sticking on the back of the neck time, you know. And some of them were stunning. This one is an award winner, actually. This one won the award. I will, I might as well say it, for the, I think the best new, range of whiskies. Not the sort of thing that can really be repeated. It is a bit of a one-off. So that was the one that really stuck out.
And one other question, how's the website coming?
It is. It really is. I'm in New York at the moment with my 21-year-old son, James, and he's completely redesigning it. Because we had to, as I explained to you before, hold back on the website while we took over the Bible. And get that properly marketed around the world and get hold of the Bible and do with it what we wanted to do with it, so it got out at the right times to the right people with the right number of whiskies in it. And that was that took some legal doing, and it's been a bit tough and very expensive to do, because I've had to make a significant personal outlay to buy the rights of my book back. But that now means that we're now freeing ourselves to do the website, and in fact I can say that ever since the 2008 Bible was put to bed in July, we have worked absolutely solidly on the site. So if you switch on, you can see the old site, there is underneath just ready to go online quite soon. a brand new design site. So it is honestly happening. And we keep mentioning it in the Bible. You know, people keep saying check into the website, and some people think it's a running joke that we just do it to wind people up. But we really are trying to do it, because actually it's quite exciting. There's so much we want to do with it, I've actually stopped writing for lots of newspapers and magazines, so I can actually now put my energies towards doing the website stuff. So, you know, from a personal point of view, I've actually invested a lot of money in non-work, if you see what I mean, that would, you know, commercial work, to actually make it happen. So, honestly, guys, it's going to happen.
I couldn't let you go without just asking your thoughts on Michael's passing a few weeks ago, because I know you guys were rivals, but I also know you got along.
We were mates. Yeah, of course we were rivals. We were rivals from the point of view that, you know, we battled each other in the marketplace. But the funny thing is, I remember once I was at a whiskey festival in Denmark. I had about 100 of my books, and we sold out in about an hour and a half, and they just vanished. And there was about 5 or 6 other whiskey books that was being sold there. And I just asked them to put all the other ones away and just to leave Michael one there. And I actually sold and signed Michael's books, because if anyone was not going to read me, I wanted to read Michael. So I actually sold his books because, we were rivals, but he was a mate. And I'm still feeling his loss extremely keenly, because we go back a hell of a long time to the days when our beards weren't even grey, and Michael had a particular way of life, and I have a particular way of life, and in many ways that way of life was very, very similar, and I can put my hand on heart and say that Michael was the only person on this planet who genuinely understood my way of life, and I know that he felt the same about me. Because our lives are, well, his life was, and my life is slightly unreal in what we do, because all the travelling and the rest of it, and it puts a big marker on many things that we can't do that people would normally do in life, and people don't often think about that, and me and Michael had to live with that. And I'm still talking about him in the present sense. I mean, because even now, so I've got to admit, I shed more than one tear. I miss it, yeah.
I think we all do.
Yeah. He was a deep guy. You had to really know him to understand him. And we understood each other really well. And the one thing that there was, and which I cherished, was there was friendship, but there was genuine respect.
If you can't find a copy at your local or online bookseller, check Jim's website, whiskeybible.com. You'll find a link at the WhiskeyCast website. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast, and as always, I'd love to hear from you. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. In addition, I'll be on the road in the next few weeks. I'll be at Whiskey Live in Toronto on the 20th and Whiskey Fest New York on the 30th. If you see me, be sure to stop and say hello. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.